Hello and welcome to the podcast for Chapter 16, The Agony of Reconstruction. The tragedy of Reconstruction was that blacks and whites, who tried to form a more egalitarian society in the South, lacked the means to achieve their aims. The President versus Congress. The North split on the question of Reconstruction in the South. Some Northerners, led by the White House, wanted speedy Reconstruction with a minimum of changes in the South. Other Northerners, led by the Congress, wanted a slower Reconstruction and demanded that freed African Americans be protected. Wartime Reconstruction. Even Lincoln clashed with Congress over Reconstruction. Lincoln hoped to win Southerners from the Confederate cause by announcing a lenient policy in 1863. Congress, however, resented Lincoln's assumption that he alone could determine policy, and some congressmen wanted to make black suffrage a precondition for taking the South back into the Union. Most of all, Congress did not trust white Southerners. Lincoln and Congress could not agree on the issues, and it was left to Lincoln's successor to work out a Reconstruction policy. Andrew Johnson at the helm. Johnson, a Southern Democrat, had remained loyal to the Union and was rewarded with the vice presidency in 1864. At first, radical Republicans felt enthusiastic about Johnson because he had a long record of hostility towards the great planter class. Gradually, however, Johnson split with the Republican Party. Johnson began the process of Reconstruction by instructing the Southern states to hold conventions that would declare secession illegal, repudiate Confederate debt, and ratify the 13th Amendment. The conventions did as ordered, but also reluctantly, and passed black codes that put African Americans in a kind of semi-slavery. Johnson approved of the actions of these conventions. Congress did not. Congress takes initiative. Congress insisted that African Americans be given the vote. In part, this insistence reflected political partisanship, since the Republican Party expected to get the black vote. For the most part, however, the desire to give the franchise to African Americans grew from an ideological commitment to equal rights and the fear that without black suffrage, the South would again fall under the control of the great white planters. In 1866, when Johnson vetoed two bills designed to help the freedmen, Republicans felt betrayed. In order to protect the rights of African Americans from the president, they no longer trusted. The Republicans pushed the 14th Amendment through Congress. In the elections of 1866, Johnson organized the National Union Party, which ran against Republican congressmen. The result of the election, however, strengthened the radical Republicans in Congress. Congressional Reconstruction Plan enacted. Congress began enacting measures that were collectively called Radical Reconstruction. The South was placed under military rule until black suffrage was fully secured. The more radical Republicans realized that the African Americans needed a long period of federal protection, but the Republican Party in general felt uneasy about the military occupation and wanted it to be short. The impeachment crisis. When Johnson sabotaged radical Reconstruction in the way that he administered it, Congress moved to remove him from office. The House impeached him in February of 1868, but the Senate refused to convict. Popular opinion had begun to turn against the radical Republicans, who seemed willing to subvert the Constitution to accomplish what they wanted. Reconstructing Southern society. The South was an arena with three contending parties: Southern whites, who wanted to keep the newly freed blacks in an inferior position; Northern whites, who moved to the South to make money, also known as carpetbaggers, or to civilize the region; and the blacks, who wanted equality. Eventually, the forces of reaction and racism won because the federal government did not sustain its interest in Reconstruction. Reorganizing land and labor. Faced with a massive need to rebuild, the South had to find a new labor system. The ex-slaves preferred to work their own land and were sometimes given land by the federal government. Under Johnson, most of this land reverted to white ownership. The former slave owners tried to impose a contract labor system resembling slavery, but blacks insisted instead on sharecropping, which seemed like at first a step towards economic independence. Sharecropping soon proved to be a form of nothing more than peonage. The South became an increasingly segregated society after the Civil War. In some cases, this resulted from African Americans' preference to worship in their own churches or to have their own schools, but most segregation was imposed on African Americans in order to keep them in an inferior social position. Black codes, a new name for slavery. While sharecropping extended black servitude and economic dependence on the farm, African Americans in southern towns and cities found themselves increasingly segregated from whites by the black codes, community pressure, or physical intimidation. At their root, the black codes were meant to control the black population and ensure white supremacy and privilege. Republican rule in the South. The Republican Party was not organized in the South until 1867, and it never acquired much strength. At first, it attracted three groups, all with different aims: business people, who wanted government aid; small white farmers, who wanted protection from creditors; and blacks, who formed the majority of the party and who wanted social and political equality. The Republican coalition was inherently unstable and broke up when the whites left it. Nevertheless, while the Republican Party governed the South, it improved conditions in areas such as public education, welfare, and transportation. Because the Republican state legislatures were corrupt, although no worse than any of those in the North, African Americans were identified with crooked, inefficient government, even though they did not even control most of the radical state governments. Retreat from Reconstruction. Grant faced a problem that might have defeated a better president, but he contributed to his own failure. He was not a man with strong principles. The rise of the money question. Grant won the election of 1868 because he was a war hero. There were no clear-cut issues in the campaign, but after the Panic of 1873, the money question became paramount. Debtors, especially in the Midwest, and business people elsewhere, wanted the government to follow an inflationary policy by allowing greenbacks issued during the Civil War to remain in circulation. Bankers, merchants, and intellectuals supported the return to hard money. In 1874, Congress adopted a pro-greenback position, but Grant opposed it. In 1875, the government committed itself to hard money, thereby arousing the anger of those suffering most from the Depression. A greenback party was formed, and it did well in the congressional races. Final efforts of Reconstruction. In 1869, Congress passed the 15th Amendment and attempted for a few years afterwards to suppress terrorist groups like the Ku Klux Klan, which had begun strong enough to seize political control of some southern states. By 1876, Republicans controlled only South Carolina, Louisiana, and Florida. Forceful measures were necessary to quell terrorism in the South, but the Northern public would no longer support military action. The Reign of Terror Against the Blacks. In the South, Grant's administration failed to sustain black suffrage against violent groups bent on restoring white supremacy. Organizations like the Ku Klux Klan used terrorism, insurrection, and murder to intimidate Southern Republican governments and prospective black voters. With the 15th Amendment and Republican rule in the South severely threatened, Congress passed the Force Act, allowing the president to use military force to quell insurrections. Spoilsmen versus reformers. During Grant's first term, stories of government corruption disrupted many of Americans and discredited the Republican parties. In the election of 1872, a new party, the Liberal Republicans, was organized and nominated Horace Greeley for president. The Democrats also nominated Greeley, but Grant won the election easily. It was during his second term that the full story of government corruption unfolded. Reunion and the New South. North and South reconciled after 1877, but only when it was agreed to strip African Americans of their political gains and to favor the interests of big business over those of the small farmer. The Compromise of 1877. Nobody knew who won the election of 1876. Democratic candidate Samuel Tilden got most of the popular votes, but there was so much dispute about the electoral votes that Republican Rutherford B. Hayes had a chance. Congress appointed a special commission to determine who should get the disputed electoral votes. When it became clear that the commission would give the votes to Hayes, the Southern Democrats in Congress promised not to cause trouble if the Republicans would guarantee federal aid to the South as well as removal of all remaining federal troops. When Hayes agreed, Reconstruction came to an end. Redeeming a New South. The men who replaced the Republicans in running the South, the Redeemers, were more interested in commerce or manufacturing than in agriculture. They used the doctrine of white supremacy to gain a hold on power, but their chief interest was in making the South a modern industrial society. The Redeemers' regime, often corrupt, welcomed Northern investment and Northern control of Southern economy. These governments neglected the problem of small farmers, blacks or whites, who suffered from unpayable debts. Eventually, the small farmer organized his own political party in the 1890s. The Redeemers also began the process of legal segregation and invented ways of denying blacks the right to vote. The rise of Jim Crow. Beginning in 1876 and culminating in the 1890s, Southern governments began codifying the de facto segregation and discrimination of Southern blacks through the enactment of the infamous Jim Crow system. Economic and physical coercion, including hundreds of lynchings in the name of Southern white womanhood, effectively disenfranchised people of color, while the convict lease system reduced blacks convicted of petty crimes to a system of forced labor that was often more cruel than slavery. After the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1875, the federal government did little to stem or even alleviate racial oppression in the South, and the Supreme Court effectively condoned it through a series of court decisions, including Plessy v. Ferguson. Some blacks, like Henry McNeil Turner, became justifiably bitter at the depth of white racism and the lack of action on the part of the federal government. They supported black nationalism and immigration to Africa as a solution. Most blacks, however, chose to struggle for their rights within American society. By the 1880s, Reconstruction was over. The nation was reunified, and blacks were sentenced to oppression that would not be challenged for another century. Well, once again, that is the podcast for Chapter 16. As always, if you have any questions or comments, I'd be more than happy to hear from you. Please leave a comment on my website, or you can email me at dshocket@washoe.k12.nv.us. And until next time, we'll cast you later.